Well, amen. Let's go in our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 3 to start off this afternoon. Revelation chapter number 3. Before we get into that, as a Christian, let me backtrack a second. Just the other day, I went to get a lawnmower from a fella on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. And, well, we're hoping to finally have a yard to mow. Hoping to get in our new house soon. And, whew, hopefully it comes soon. We got to stop the other day and see the property. We took the kids inside for the first time. They got to see the house. But we're waiting for the banks to, well, the federal court needs to open up so we can get some documents to finish the whole process. But anyway, that's not the point of the story. I went and got a lawnmower. And if you ever respond to someone on Craigslist or you go to someone's house, you never know who's going to walk out the front door to meet you. Because you'll chat through email or through Facebook Messenger, and then you actually get to the front door and it's time to meet the person. And I'm sure they're feeling the same thing on the inside. Who's this guy or girl who's coming to my house? And I'm pulling up to someone's house and I don't know who's going to walk out the front door. And he was an interesting guy. We look at the lawnmower for a second. He's buzzing it around. He doesn't have much grass in the front yard, so it's more just throwing rocks everywhere. But it was running. Everything looked good. It was kind of new. Like, okay, I'll take it. I have to come back tomorrow. I'll get the trailer and come back and get it. So the man said, no, I have a trailer. I do a lawn care business, one of his jack-of-all-trades type things, and it is just up the road a ways. Why don't we go get the trailer, and then I'll bring it to where you want it. And he wasn't going to charge me anything. So I said, ooh, that sounds like fantastic. I'll take it. So I go to get in the truck with a guy, and immediately lights a cigarette. And then, of course, the rest of the day, my whole clothes smelt like the smoke. But anyway, he starts talking and telling some stories, and he turns on a vocabulary that I can't repeat many of the words. And he was just going on and on. So as quick as I could, I kind of interjected. I'm an associate pastor over at Walker Bible Baptist Church. Why? So he resets kind of a bit what level we're talking at here. And because I didn't need to hear everything he's saying, and I didn't want him to feel embarrassed later if it came up later in the conversation. But he goes to tell me then, yeah, well, I used to go to a Southern Baptist church down south somewhere, and I grew up in church, and I moved back, and I thought, man, based on the way this guy is talking to me, I never would have guessed that you grew up in church. I didn't say this to him. This is my inner thoughts here. I would never would have guessed. How does a man who claims to be kind of a Christian and he had no interest in coming to church now, but say based on the way you speak, I would never have guessed that you were a Christian or that you grew up in church. Why? Because inside the church we have a new vocabulary. Things change about the way we talk. We learn some new words. I was just talking with Brother Ray Warner the other day, and when you talk about like even sin. Many people outside of church, they don't use the word sin very often in their life. And they might not understand it the same way we understand it from Scripture. When you say salvation, for someone who's lost, I'm not lost. Why do I need salvation? Is there a tornado coming? Is my house on fire? What do you need? I need to be saved. We use different vocabulary. I mean, we talk about being born again. And even Nicodemus in John chapter 3 didn't understand what it meant to be born again. What is it? How can a man be born again? He was a leader, a religious leader, and he didn't even understand what it meant to be born again. So when we learn new words, we learn new meanings in the church. We talk about the blood. And we sing some of the songs even we sang here with a little bit earlier with Pastor Russo's message. Man, if you're coming to church for the first time and people start singing about the blood of Jesus, you might think, "Whoo, what in the world? Who are these people and why are they singing about blood?" It's kind of a weird thing. But once you understand what it means, it's a blessing and it's encouragement to us to think about how Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for our sin. But just to say that phrase to someone who has no idea, man, they might get confused and not understand fully what you're talking about. One of those words, and every once in a while I find it slipping into my vocabulary when I'm outside of church. I'll be at the bank, and they'll say, okay, your deposit went through, and I'll say, amen. And they give you a, what? Why? Amen. Because that's not a word a lot of people use outside of church. Sometimes they'll hear it when they attend a wedding, as people pray. They know amen is the end of a prayer, but Man, amen isn't a word that most people use outside of church. And there's nothing wrong with letting it slip into your vocabulary, man. Because if we're saved, we should have the new man has a new language. We talk in new ways. We use new words. And one of those words that we see through in Scripture is the word amen. It's used over 72 times in the Bible. 72 verses use the word amen. And today's, it's kind of a message / lesson, if you will. It's about why do we say amen? How do we use the word amen? If you're somewhat new to Christianity, or maybe you grew up in church and it's just something you grew up saying and you don't really even know why we say it, why do we say the word amen? In Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14, Scripture tells us this. Revelation 3, let's start in verse number 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Spirit of God is writing to the angels of the churches here. And in verse number 14 he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And this was the only spot that I saw, I might have missed a spot though, where the word Amen is used as a name. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Amen. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And I thought about that. When we pray, when we shout it out in church, when it slips into something, you just get a blessing. You say, amen, we're using one of the names of Jesus Christ. And then I thought about, man, I was trying to remember the day I got saved. It was in the other sanctuary, right up, the same pulpit was there, right up to the left-hand side where the altar was and the steps that you could get up there. I remember going forward and kneeling there and asking Jesus Christ to save me. And, you know, some people say the prayer of salvation is, you know, the first prayer that God would hear. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, I see lost or pagan kings and people pray and God seems to hear them. But I know for sure he hears that prayer. And after I call out to him, ask him to forgive my sin, we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Using the name of Jesus Christ himself two times there to say it's because of him that I get to pray this prayer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the amen there is actually another name for Jesus. We're praying in his name. We get to come before God because of Jesus Christ. I got to pray that day for salvation because of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the ways we use the word amen in Scripture is to end a prayer. To end a prayer, we see in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 13, as the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 13, Jesus Christ ends it as he's teaching his disciples to pray. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And he ends it with, amen. Amen. That amen at the end of the prayer is a way of sealing it. To say, okay, I'm done. And everything that I've said, and I was kind of imagined packaged, sealed together. And this is my prayer that I'm going to send off to God. We see it ending not just prayers, but we see it ending the Gospels, books of the Bible. All four Gospels end with amen. If we go to the end of the book of Revelation, chapter number 22, the actual Bible ends with an amen. Revelation 22, verse number 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. That's the way John ends the Bible, with an amen, to say, I'm finished. Everything that I've said, I'm done. My thought's complete. It's ready. And when we pray, we end with the word amen. And this use of it, really, it starts in the New Testament. You don't see that a lot in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, starting with Christ teaching his disciples to pray that way. And when we say, in Jesus' name I pray, or however you end it there, amen. That's your way of saying to God, Lord, I finished praying, and everything that I said, I want you to know. That it's kind of, this is my heart, this is my thought. It's all put together, stuffed into a package. I remember trying to mail a package. We We had a family come visit us down in Mexico from Cooperstown, a pastor and his wife and a young lady that helped us with our vacation Bible school. And she wanted to bring back in Mexico, they have these nice clay pots. They use them a lot for beans. And put it on the stovetop, let it simmer for a long time with the beans in there. So they're a good size, but they're pretty cheap. They're the clay. They're, you know, they're got the enamel on it. Sometimes there's little flowers painted on the outside. And we like to bring people to the store that sells them. Some of you might have been there. And she grabs one. They pack it up nice with newspaper. They put it in their carry-on. I think they had it like on a backpack with them. And they try to get it back home. She calls us when they get back home. It broke. So we're thinking, oh, we're going to go to Texas. I can get one. Next time we go to Texas, I'll grab one and we'll ship it to you. So we buy one. We get up to Texas. I go to the UPS store. Fantastic place. I get it. I let them do everything. They get the box, their box, the size they say works. They do all the packing with the peanuts and the bubble wrap and everything. And then they get the insurance on it. Because I want to make sure this pot makes it to Cooperstown to this pastor and his wife. They send back a couple weeks later a picture. They open the box. Broken. Like, oh, I guess it's just not God's will. You're not getting a pot from Mexico. You're going to do something wrong. Maybe burn down the house. I don't know. You're not getting one. And you think, man, all that work we put into it to make sure it fit. It was all packaged so nice and neat and beautiful. And it still didn't make it. What's the point of the whole story? Man, I imagine when I pray that I kind of have a box. And man, I'm just pouring stuff into it. I try to give God thanks. I might have to ask for forgiveness. Maybe I share a worry or a problem I'm facing. I include some of the needs from other people. Here, let's put this in the box. And sometimes, man, even this morning when I was praying, it just seems like there's so much to pray for. And the more I stuff and stuff and stuff, but no matter how big of a box I need, I just imagine, man, when I say amen, everything fits in perfect. It's all sealed up. And it's going to get to God. I mean, he's hearing me as I speak. This is just how my brain works. And he gets it, opens it up, and everything I've tried to shove in there is now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just perfectly organized, nice and neat. Nothing's broken. All my thoughts are clear. He gets them all. And I ended, and I sealed that package with the amen to say, okay, now send it off. And we know that God hears our prayers and that the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us. Amen. And no matter how confusing my prayers are and how much I jump around from thought to thought, I imagine me just kind of pushing stuff in a box. But when God gets it and I seal it with that amen and send it off, that man, it's exactly what my heart was trying to say the whole time. That's why we use the word amen. Say, God, this is my thought. This is my prayer. It's yours now. And I just pictured, you know, using the mail as a way of thinking, man, I just send it off. God hears us when we pray. And we end it with that amen. What's another way the Bible uses the word amen? In Deuteronomy chapter number 27, this is some of the first uses of the word amen in the Bible. And they use it to confirm a vow. In Deuteronomy chapter number 27, I'm going to turn there. We're not going to read the whole passage here. But as the children of God are hearing parts of the law, they are supposed to confirm that part. And it says at the end of each verse here in Deuteronomy chapter number 27, I have my bilingual Bible, so it always takes me longer to get places. My guesses at how far I have to turn are not right with this Bible. And Deuteronomy chapter number 27 starts in verse number 15. And Moses is charging the people, and the Levites are speaking aloud, in a loud voice, it says in verse number 14. And they say, cursed be, cursed be. And they're giving these extremely important laws from God. I mean, there's some heavy stuff in here. And it ends in verse number 26. The Bible says verse number 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. At the end of every vow the people made, and at the end of every one of these verses as you read through here, and all the people shall say, amen. And all the people shall say, amen. And every once in a while, you'll have a pastor will say that. When we got to travel to a bunch of different churches, we don't use it a lot here. And they'll say, and all God's people said, amen. That's your way of saying, I confirm that vow. Or maybe you want to make a promise to God. Or you're dedicating something to the Lord. A way to confirm that, to say, I'm on board with this. I'm going to do this, is to say, Amen. Another way we use it, and this is more common here, is we go back to Revelation chapter number 22. Man, I should have put those 2 points back to back. That way we wouldn't have to go back and forth. Not that you're probably turning anywhere. If you are, good job. If you're not, Brother Bauman's nice enough to go through the extra work to put the verses there. I like that at the bottom of the screen. Revelation 22, we read verse number 21, but if we go back a verse, we see amen used in another way. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And it's kind of used in two ways here. Jesus is speaking and saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. That's a vow. That's a promise that Jesus is making. But then I also read it as John is hearing Christ say that, surely I come quickly. And he can't help but kind of say, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I agree with that. I want to reinforce that truth I just heard. I want to agree with that and say, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, we see it used in this way. Verse number 14, as Paul is dealing with the church about speaking in tongues, especially the unknown tongue, and we're not going to get into that today. Amen. But he says in verse number 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit may be communicating with God and having worship, but even I, my understanding doesn't know what I'm saying. So he's going to go on to say, what is it then? What's that benefit in verse number 15? What should I do then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So I'm going to pray with my spirit like I'm supposed to, but with the understanding. What's the understanding? I'm either speaking a language I know, or there's somebody there to translate what I'm saying. I believe he's saying here that I'm just going to pray in my own language. Why? Because then I get my spirit talking with God, and my understanding is being blessed. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Verse number 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what he saith? Now, we're recording here, and Blake is sitting back in the corner. You can't see him, but believe me, he's there. If I started preaching in Spanish, voy a leer este versículo en español. See? How much of a blessing would that be to him? He'd say, okay. And I remember my first trips to Mexico before I started learning the language. Even now, sometimes you just smile and nod. And that's all. You'll be careful what you're smiling and nodding to. But, man, you don't understand a thing. My spirit did not get blessed by hearing the preaching our first months in Mexico, because I didn't understand a thing that was being said. And Paul's trying to teach that lesson. That's not the point. I'm getting sidetracked here. But he says, how shall thou bless with the Spirit? How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say? What is that person going to say? Say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. Say, we're expecting these people to say amen. And if they can't say amen, then they're not getting blessed. They're not going to understand what's being said. The way we use amen here in this context is to say, man, when my spirit is blessed, when I receive that blessing, I say, amen. I'm confirming what I just heard. For thou verily, verse number 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Apart from the doctrine of the tongues here, the point is that the person listening needs to be edified. And when they're edified, what are they going to do? They're going to confirm it with an amen, that they were edified. This is a blessing. It's a help to those around you to say, man, I've just been encouraged by a thought. Say, man, I'm so thankful for the day God saved my soul. And someone over here might say, amen. Why'd they say that? To say, man, me too. I agree with that. I was blessed by that same thing in my life. Amen. We say, God is good and he wants to save you. Someone else would say, amen. Why? To say, man, That touched me. That happened to me. I agree with that. God wants to save you. Amen. And one of the reasons I'm preaching this here today is so that I'm not begging people. There's no one here to say amen besides Blake, and he's just sitting here quiet. No one's going to say amen to the message now. This is for you to use in the future. I mean, as God speaks to you, whether it's even at your house reading your Bible, and something's good, don't be shy. Amen. Maybe don't scream it if the kids are sleeping, but amen. If you're sitting at the cafeteria at work and you're reading, Amen. Maybe you just got, you remember a blessing that God gave you. Amen. People might look at you. What did you just say? What an opportunity to share with them the blessing that God has given in your life and how you can use that in the future. Amen. To witness, to open up doors is a simple word. Amen. And it's a blessing to the preacher. Amen. If you say amen once in a while, the preacher knows, hey, this guy is listening to what I'm saying. Not only is he listening, but as the scripture said there in 1 Corinthians, he's being edified by what's said. It's so discouraging as a preacher to look out and it might be my fault in delivery. This never happens to me, though, because I never bore anyone with my preaching, except half the people all the time. But, man, you look out and someone's just like, and not just the little kids who are counting all the light bulbs that are out. But adult, they're just kind of staring off at space. You have one person that's usually nodding off to try to stay awake. And I get some days that are like that. I mean, it's just a long day. It's rough. And maybe your spirit isn't engaged as it should be. Or maybe there is something wrong with the preaching of the word. It's just not coming across very clearly. But, man, if you're getting blessed, don't be scared to say, amen. Because I've been edified. And it's an encouragement to the preacher to know that you've been edified. Lastly, the way we use the word amen, it's a word of praise. It's also a word of praise. Not just to say, I'm making this vow, not just to end a prayer or a thought, not just to agree with something that's being said, to say I've been edified, but it's also a way to praise God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 34 through 36 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. That it's kind of a prayer, kind of song that's going on here. And the people at the end are saying, amen. That's their way of participating in what was just done. I want to praise God too. Those words, I want to be able to say, amen, I'm with you. I want to lift up God's name. Nehemiah 8, verse number 6. Nehemiah 8, 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads. And what did they do? And worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Man, as they wanted to praise their God, what did they say? Amen, amen. There they say it twice. Psalm 106, verse number 48. Psalm 106, 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. And there's other things that sometimes people might shout out. Glory to God. Praise God. God's good. All those things. Amen. Are why? We just want to worship and praise God. And Revelation 19, verse number 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God. Now, they're not praying. They're not confirming any vows. What are they doing? They're worshiping God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Sometimes if you just want to worship God, you might not be amen in the preacher. You might not be finishing a prayer. You might not be confirming any kind of vow, but I just need to worship God. Say amen. Remember, that is the name, one of the names of Jesus Christ. We're lifting him up. Don't be shy. Don't be scared to say amen. It's, if you haven't said a lot, it might feel a little strange. You don't have to come in when we finally get to meet back together, sit right here in the front row and stand up and jump and scream and say amen, hallelujah all the time. Even in the stillness of your heart, the word amen is important. It's a biblical word that's used throughout Scripture as a way for us to confirm a promise to God, a way for us to finish out our prayer or to confirm the prayer of somebody else and say, amen, I'm with you. Amen, Lord, this is my prayer. I'm sending it off to you. It's a way that we encourage one another in the church to say, yeah, me too. I'm on board with that. I like that thought. That touched me. And it's also a way just to praise God. Say amen. As you read your Bible maybe tomorrow, you're going to say, read something. If it's a blessing, say amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe, like I said, you're at work and God touches your heart about a thought, say amen. Or when you're in church next time. If somebody's praying, and you're praying together, when you say that amen at the end, you're saying, Lord, I agree with that prayer. That's my prayer too. The word amen is important. Don't be shy. Don't be scared to use it. Man, God has a blessing for us. And we get to fellowship with God through some of these things that don't, outside the doors of the church, they might seem weird and might seem odd. But it is blessed and ordained of God. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed here. Lord, I do thank you for your word and I thank you for what it teaches. Lord, I thank you as I look back on my life and see, Lord, all the ways that you've blessed me, all the prayers that you've answered, all the truths that I've heard from your word and I've gotten to say, amen. All those prayers that I brought before your throne, and I know that you heard them. Every time I read something in Scripture and I know that's a truth from God, Lord, may I just hear someone else praising you, lifting you up, and I want to join in and just say, amen, Lord. What a blessed and special word that we get to use. What I pray now is, you know, we still have our struggles and our battles, and Lord, help us to, in those trials, maybe in a moment of sadness or even in a moment of victory, whatever we find ourselves, to worship you, to be truthful in our worship, to lift you up in the good times and the bad, Lord, to be faithful in our prayers, Lord, to not be scared, to be a witness to others. All this can happen with one little word, amen. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I hope that was a blessing.